You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Back in 2016, the Idaho Land Board passed a policy allowing reinvestment in private timberland and agricultural properties. Now, the board is now reviewing that policy to see if it should be continued, since it may affect people's property taxes, especially if you live in certain counties here in the Gem State. Joining us live in studio is Seth Grigg. He is Executive Director of the Idaho Association of Counties. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, first, what is the Land Board?
So we have to go back to the inception of Idaho as a state. When Idaho became a state, the federal government essentially deeded over land to the state of Idaho to be held in trust, primarily to benefit our public schools. And so the Land Board is the governing board that oversees how that land is managed. The Land Board is comprised of the governor, the Secretary of State, Superintendent of Public Education, the state comptroller. And I know I'm missing somebody, but
it's that upper echelon
constitutional officers within the state of Idaho.
And so in 2006, this board explored a new investment strategy that resulted in this new policy. So talk to us about the policy and really how it works and operates.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. If we go back in time a few years, the state of Idaho and Department of Lands through the endowment, they actually owned a number of cottage sites around Payette Lake and Priest Lake up in North Idaho. And they made the decision to auction off those cottage sites.
And when you say cottage sites, not to interrupt, that's still land you're talking about.
Correct. So it's land around Payette Lake, Priest Lake, and individuals had built homes and cabins on that land. And they were leasing the land away on an annual basis from the state land board. And so essentially the land was auctioned off. Most of the land, the improvement owners were able to purchase the land, and so that infused a lot of money into the state land board. And they had a choice to make as to how they were going to reinvest those funds. Were they going to reinvest those funds into the endowment, which is managed by an investment board, and that's the money that's used from the interest to provide benefits to our public education system? Or were they alternatively going to reinvest those dollars into land acquisitions of timber and agricultural land? It's predominantly been timberland. And so that was the policy decision that the Land Board made in 2016 to reinvest those dollars into private timberland, essentially purchasing private land, which once it's purchased by the government, it goes off the tax rolls.
Okay. So then this is where potentially property taxes come into play?
Correct. So those private landowners, they're paying property taxes just like a homeowner would or a business owner on the lands that they owned. And as the state acquires those lands, property taxes are no longer paid on those lands because the state is constitutionally prohibited from paying property taxes. And I think a good way of thinking about this is just envision a balloon. And that's really the property tax budget that a local government has. They set their budget based off of their needs of services. And if you exempt property, you're not removing dollars or air from that balloon. You're just kind of pushing it around. And so if you poke your air into the balloon, it's going to bulge out somewhere else. And so as a result of this private land being taken off the tax rolls, the county or the highway district or the school district, the city, they're still going to collect those tax dollars, but they just have a smaller base to collect those tax dollars from, which results in everybody else paying more in property taxes.
So you're a representative of Idaho County.
Correct.
Excuse me. So can you tell us what effect, if any, then, that this policy has had on people and businesses in these particular counties that we're talking about?
Well, the impacts on businesses will be the same as the impacts on residential property owners. And so one county that's been particularly hit hard is Benoit County, where a lot of this land was actually taken off the tax rolls. And so in Benoit County, for example, as I mentioned earlier, they were no longer receiving the tax dollars from the private landowner. And so they had to make up the difference elsewhere. And so that meant businesses within Benoit County, as well as residential property owners, ended up paying more in property taxes. And so at the end of the day, that's the impact on other taxpayers, is that when these land acquisitions occur, it means that homeowners and businesses will pay more in property taxes.
We're speaking with Seth Grigg. He's the executive director of the Idaho Association of Counties. So with this policy then, Seth, who really is the most affected by this?
So really, when you look at tax shifting, and you know that's kind of inside baseball for what happens when property comes off the rolls, it shifts off to another class of property owner. Year to year, it's a challenge to assess who really is impacted the most because there are other factors that come into play. But generally, if we're looking at Benoit County, you're essentially shifting the burden on to largely residential property owners. And as we've seen in a lot of areas in the state, you know, the residential property owners are really feeling the pinch on property taxes. And some of that is attributed to these tax shifts that occur when land becomes exempt from taxation.
So here the land board puts this policy in place in 2016, and now they're reviewing it as what, maybe not being such a good idea? It just seems like if you put the policy in place, did they maybe not forward think on this?
Well, that's a good question. And I can't speak for the land board, but
right.
as you know, most governing bodies, when you adopt a policy, you want to reevaluate that policy to see how it's working out. And, you know, as an alternative, as I mentioned earlier, rather than investing the funds into future land acquisitions, you could actually roll that money over into the state endowment. And in fact, if you look at the data from 2018, the proceeds from timber transactions resulted in about a 5.5% increase in revenues. You compare that to returns from the endowment fund that were 9.5%. And so if you look at least in the short term, the last year or so, the endowment fund has produced higher returns than what the activities on the lands have generated.
So if the policy continues, what effect could that potentially have?
Right now, we estimate that the land board has at its disposal about $150 million that could be reinvested in timberland. And so if you take market conditions and look at, you know, what land's going for right now, that's about 115,000 acres that could come off the tax rolls. And the impacts are going to be different county by county. You know, in some counties, like – and typically it's the smaller counties, the Clearwater counties, the Benoit counties, the Shoshone counties that have – smaller tax bases. And so the more you remove from that tax base, the bigger fiscal impact that's going to have on those small counties.
So are there alternatives then? If the policy, since it is being reviewed, if they decide to do something else?
There is. And the most obvious policy would be to, rather than reinvesting those funds into the state land acquisitions, to simply divert those funds into the state endowment, where they can receive potentially a higher rate of return on those investments.
So why should the average person care about this? And I ask this because it seems like a dry topic, right? It's hard to get people to stop and think about this issue.
Yeah. Well, I think there are really two reasons. One, you can look at it from an education standpoint. I mean, that money is reinfused into our K-12 education. It's infused into our university system. And so if we're able to get a higher return, for example, by investing the money directly into the state endowment, that's going to generate more revenues for our kids, for schools. And then the flip side of that, if you're looking at if you're a landowner in one of these counties where there's a lot of timberland, if more of that land comes off the tax rolls, then it has the potential of increasing your property taxes. And as we've seen around the state, you know, people are really paying attention to their property taxes right now and they care about it. And so those are the two, you know, direct areas where it impacts everyday Idahoans.
So how do people learn more about this if they want to educate themselves more?
Well, there are a number of resources. Certainly you could visit the land board's website where they have a lot of information. There is a subcommittee that's reviewing this policy that will meet tomorrow morning, I believe, 8:30 at the Idaho State Capitol. And, you know, certainly talk with your county commissioners, especially if you're in a rural county, about what the impacts are. You know, there are other resources out there.
And do we know when they might decide on if they keep the policy or not?
We don't know. I mean, we'll be watching the subcommittee meeting tomorrow. And based off of, you know, what that subcommittee decides, we'll have a better idea.
I appreciate you coming in and talking about this today and getting us all a little bit more educated on this issue. We've been talking with Seth Grigg, Executive Director of the Idaho Association of Counties. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, an update on the future of caribou here in Idaho. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.